From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where the Institute of Contemporary Art's watershed is filled with palace ruins and high walls painted in different shades of blue to examine the complicated history of the color indigo. The monumental sculpture was created by visual artist Farolai Baez. It's her largest to date. WBUR's arts and culture reporter Cristela Guerra has been reporting on this and joins me now. Hi, Cristela.
Hi, Arun.
So tell us a bit more about this exhibit. It's amazing. It looks like something that should be a set for an opera.
Yeah, you know, it truly is. I feel like I was wandering under these structures kind of in awe. They're 20 feet high. They look really ancient. They just rose from the depths of the sea, like from Atlantis itself. And above you, you have this folds of blue fabric that kind of blanket the gallery and drench the space in the color indigo. So then you feel like you're in Van Gogh's Starry Night. The material, for me, from Florida, it's very reminiscent of the blue tarps that you see on roofs following hurricanes. And Farolai actually touched on that.
So the blue tarp was always a constant. It either meant shelter or disaster, and many times both. So after a hurricane, you'd cover your roof that might have blown partially away.
Wow, that's intense and vivid. And Baez says she was inspired by a palace in Haiti. Is that right?
Yeah, so the ruins reference the Palace of Sanssouci. It's the first northern kingdom of Haiti. The king was Henri Christophe, who was a formerly enslaved man, self-proclaimed monarch, who fought during the Haitian Revolution against French colonial rule, and Haiti eventually gained its independence. So Baez is kind of having people walk through time to a time where indigo was a major export. Cotton was produced by enslaved people, and it was actually a technique brought from West Africa. So as you hear Baez mention, it's a really fraught history to unpack.
But that such a simple material and such beautiful color can have a very fraught and very brilliant history, because if you think of the science of it, the figuring out how this one particular plant that was mastered in a different geography in West Africa, and that was there a symbol of maybe status. You could exchange that material for different goods, and at certain points you could exchange bodies for a bolt of this cotton dyed in indigo blue.
Wow, definitely knew some of that about indigo in the West, but that is fascinating. You also referenced voices telling stories here, but these are stories of immigrants and migration. Tell us about that.
It's my favorite part of the exhibit because the archways have motion sensors. So as you walk under them, it triggers the voices. And so you'll hear someone suddenly speaking in Spanish or Mandarin or English, and they're murmurs, and they are telling you about their home and their lived experiences, family, and considering that the watershed's actually in a working shipyard, it was a port of entry in East Boston, which is incredibly diverse, is just, especially as an immigrant, is really intriguing to me. So Baez touches on that a bit more here.
And just thinking of all the people who come now and who've been coming throughout the centuries who had to make that choice, or who, for whom it wasn't even a choice. They couldn't stay home.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's very relatable. I mean, for those of us who are immigrants or children of immigrants especially, I know Indians talk about crossing the Great Water, where it's generally coming over that great indigo divide. Cristela, this is, we should tell people, this installation, the art installation by Farolai Baez, is on view at the Institute of Contemporary Art's Watershed Gallery until September 6. This has been wonderful. Thank you for bringing this to us, Cristela.
Thank you so much, Arun. It was really nice talking to you.
That's WBUR's Cristela Guerra. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. Tropical storm Elsa dumped several inches of rain on Massachusetts today and brought gusty winds to the South Coast, Cape Cod, and the islands. Power outages briefly peaked at 7,000 customers as of this taping, and utility companies are urging residents to take extra precautions due to risks posed from downed power lines. William Hinkle is with Eversource.
always stay clear of downed wires. If you see a downed wire, report it immediately to 911. If you do experience an outage, report that to us. Either give us a call, report it online, or you can use our mobile app to report outages as well.
In other news, Massachusetts stands to gain nearly $90 million as part of a larger $4.3 billion multi-state settlement with the Sackler family. That money will come directly from the Sacklers and will be used for addiction treatment and prevention. The family's company, the opioid painkiller maker Purdue Pharma, must be dissolved or sold. State Attorney General Maura Healey had previously opposed Massachusetts' involvement in the settlement because it creates immunity for the Sacklers from future opioid lawsuits. Healey says the Sacklers still have yet to admit wrongdoing, and she hopes that someday they will own up to their role in the opioid crisis. But she says the current settlement is a big step in the right direction and that millions of documents related to the family's role in the opioid epidemic will now be made public.
A reckoning that exposes the Sacklers' misconduct, strips them of their power, and provides money that will be dedicated entirely to prevention, treatment, and recovery.
Healey and 23 other state attorneys general filed a suit against the Sacklers and Purdue, claiming that they aggressively marketed opioid medications and contributed to the nation's opioid epidemic. And finally, a public health story involving our furry, masked, garbage-loving neighbors, raccoons. Let's start at the beginning. Back in May, a raccoon tested positive for rabies on Cape Cod. This is the first time in 8 years that's happened. Cases of human rabies are exceedingly rare in the United States, with just 1 to 3 cases reported annually. But the viral disease contracted from the bites of rabid animals, such as raccoons, is virtually 100% fatal if left untreated. So from next week through July 23rd, low-flying helicopters will be dropping ketchup packet-sized raccoon baits laced with rabies vaccine from Bourne to Orlean in hopes of containing the spread of the virus among our furry friends. Erica Woods, co-chair of the Cape Cod and Southern Massachusetts Rabies Task Force, says baits will also be distributed from municipal cars and trucks as well, in cooperation with the U.S. Department of Agriculture Rabies Program. So, no cause for panic, but if you're anywhere near the Cape this summer, it would be wise to keep your distance from any suspicious-looking raccoons or other woodland critters you might find in your general vicinity. And if a wild animal does bite you, you should head to the nearest emergency room immediately. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo in news, I'm Arun Roth. Have a great weekend and be well. You like podcasts? Here's one more you might enjoy. All Revved Up. Join hosts and reverends Irene Monroe and Emmett Price as they explore the intersection of faith, politics, and culture. New episodes of All Revved Up drop every other Wednesday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.